Good morning. It is good to see everyone here this morning. It is good to be here this morning. What a beautiful Lord's Day we have been given. This morning, I want to continue our yearly study on the teaching of Christ. We've been aboard with Jesus and His Apostle two times already, seeing, feeling, and learning. This morning, we listen to a very peculiar statement by Jesus, which even they did not understand at first. Jesus is known in speaking in parables. He is known to say things which mean something completely different. This morning, as we cross the sea, Jesus gives us one of those sayings. Why would Jesus be worried about what type of leaven the Pharisees cook with? As we ponder what Jesus said, we find ourselves looking backwards at what had just happened in order to understand the teaching. The miracle Jesus just performed teaches us great lessons. So just what leaven was Jesus speaking about? We, of course, have an advantage. The Holy Spirit has given us the answer. But if we look closer, we gain understanding. And with it, we can make a great application in our fight for the truth. This is where we pick up with our teaching this morning. To learn what leaven can do is to learn why we are to be cautious about it. Listen carefully to what Jesus says. Consider His warning. And we will learn the lesson from the boat. Lessons from the boat. If you would, take your Bible and open it up to the book of Matthew. If you have something to stick in your Bible, go ahead and open up to the book of Mark, chapter 8 as well, and kind of put a little leaflet there, or one of your little flags, if your Bible has a flag, as we will be going back and forth between the two books in those respective places. This morning, we take the lesson, beware of leaven. Matthew chapter 16, if you will. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 5. Now when His disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Now if you would, turn to Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, I want to read with you verses 13 through 16. It says, "And He, speaking of Jesus, left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then He charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.'" As we just start there, we begin this lesson with just understanding just a few things that are said. First off, we understand that Jesus and His disciples enter the boat. That's what we see there in Mark chapter 8. And there's two things that we learn. Number one, they have forgotten to take in any bread. And number two, the amount of bread that they had on them at the time was less than one loaf. So Jesus makes an unusual comment. He says, "Beware," or "take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of Herod." Now, you got to put yourself in the situation. Understanding the Holy Spirit has given us the answer in the verses preceding or following this, and we'll look at that in a second. Here you have the apostles in the boat with Jesus. They're rowing and crossing the sea. They recognize among themselves and say, "Well, we don't have any bread." And Jesus mentions to them this idea of leaven. Leaven, which is used in bread making. Yeast is probably what we would call it today, at least here in the United States. And if you were making some bread, you would put some sort of yeast in it, which would allow the bread to rise and therefore cook and bake properly. And so here we have a boat full, or maybe even multiple boats. We're not necessarily told, but sometimes they would take two boats. But here we have a boat full of men with Jesus. There's no bread, or at least there's less than one loaf worth of bread, which would not be very much in those times. And Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of Herod." And the disciples themselves don't truly understand. And so what do? They come to the conclusion, it's because we didn't take any bread. It's because we didn't take any bread that He's asking us about bread. It's because He didn't take any bread that He's telling us to beware of leaven, which is used in bread. And that idea of to take heed, or to beware, to take heed, comes from the Greek word horeo. And that Greek word means to stare at, or to stern, or to, discern clearly. So what Jesus says is you need to understand, stare at, or clearly understand the leaven of the Pharisees. And their natural conclusion is because we don't take any bread, we're going to have to eat ourselves and we have no bread. Jesus is talking about bread. But in order to truly understand what the lesson is, we need to look backwards. So if you're still in the book of Matthew, turn back to chapter 15. And if you're in the book of Mark, we'll come back to it, but we'll read verse 1 through 9 in a minute. Matthew chapter 15, if you'll flip back in your Bibles there, and hopefully you'll put something in between the two. Starting in verse 29, we see some things happening. And it's because of these things that Jesus makes this statement. It says, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now listen carefully. Now Jesus called to His disciples to Himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then His disciples said to Him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a little few fish. So He commanded a multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to His disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitude. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left over. Now, those who ate were 4,000 men, besides men and women and children. And He sent the multitude away, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Now, if you would, turn to Mark chapter 8. We pick up a few extra details from Mark's account. In Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 1. In those days, the multitudes being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they now have continued with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some have come from far off or from afar. Then His disciples answered Him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, He said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away. Immediately got into the boat with His disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. So, what do we pick up? Well, we pick up this story trying to understand what lesson He was teaching them about leaven, with the idea of what just happened. What just happened is great multitudes came to see Jesus for healing. And it even goes on to give the list. The lame, the blind, the mute, the marred, and even many others came. And He healed them all. And the result? The multitude saw this and glorified the God of Israel. They rejoiced in the healings by this man named Jesus.
But Jesus speaks.
And he says, I have compassion. Why would Jesus have compassion? Well, he gives us a few reasons. Number one, they've continued 3 days. Now understand this. Reading in the book of Matthew, Matthew gives us a good description of where they are. It says, and he left them, is how we started out our reading, which means he was already with people. And he leaves them and skirts the sea, which means they walk around the sea, and he goes up into the mountain. And multitudes come out to him, anyways. And these multitudes have been there for 3 days. And he goes on to say, not only have they been there 3 days, they have nothing to eat. And I don't want to send them away hungry, because it's now time for us to leave. Because if we do, and according to Mark's account, they'll faint, because some have come from very far away. And so Jesus has compassion. However, this is lost on his disciples. Because the disciples answer this plea of compassion with this question. Where can we get enough bread in the wilderness? In Matthew's account. And in Mark's account, how can one satisfy with bread in the wilderness? This many people. How can we do this? See, this is what they're worried about. Jesus is worried about compassion. They're worried about logistics. How can we do it? Jesus answers or responds with the idea, it's logical, isn't it? How much do you have? Well, just feed them with whatever you got. What do you have? 7 and a few little fish. Or Mark says, a few small fish. Indicating a size differential. So he commands the multitude to sit on the ground. And approximately 4,000 men, besides women and children, are there and fed. Now, just because I like numbers, and I like to just think upon how many people this would be, if half of the men were married, and half of the married couples had one child, that's 7,000 people. 7,000 people with 7 loaves and a few small fish. Not told how many necessarily, but a few small fish. 7,000 people were fed that day. When you put that into perspective of what it takes today to feed someone, you can almost understand why the disciples were thinking logistically. How are we in this wilderness supposed to get enough bread to feed all these people? The problem with that is who are they with? The problem with that is in Matthew chapter 14, he's already done this. And in Matthew chapter 14, they ask a very logistical question. There's not enough money available to buy enough bread to feed these people. And yet Jesus did. And yet Jesus is going to do it again. So again, if half the men are married, and half the married couples have one child, 7,000 people are fed. And what we learn through this miracle, and through the same miracle you can find in Matthew chapter 14, is the ability and power of the little or the few. The disciples provided the food for the multitude. And they took up what was left. And what was left was 7 large baskets full. 7,000 people ate 7 loaves of bread, a few small fish, and there were 7 large baskets left over. That should tell you something about how powerful something so small can actually be. So what's the lesson? What lesson did Jesus teach them as he divided the food amongst them and the disciples set? There wasn't any. Instead, he sent them away, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. There wasn't any great lesson Jesus didn't teach his disciples anything. He didn't say, okay, come over and sit down and let's review what just happened. And kind of like I did. Let's talk about what just... He didn't do that. He fed the people and they left. However, we pick up the story in Matthew 16 now. Go back to the book of Matthew 16. Start in verse 8. We've already read through verse 7. Verse 7 states, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread." Here they are. They've crossed the sea. They have no bread. And Jesus makes this great, wonderful, interesting statement. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now listen to verse 8. "O you of little faith," is what he says right there in the middle. "Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand yet or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000s and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understand that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Turn it now, if you would, back in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Flip over there. Mark chapter 8. Now we pick up this same story in verse 17. But Jesus, being aware of it, being aware of what? Being of the fact that they have reasoned among themselves and they've come to the conclusion, he's only telling us about leaven, which is used to make bread, because we didn't break any bread. But he says this, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" When Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of Herod," he fully expected his disciples to get the point. He has shown them twice what it means and what leaven can do. And he fully expected them to be able to put this together. That's why there was no teaching in chapter 15 when they got done. They just got in the boat and left. He expected them to get it. And that is why when he said this, he just assumed and expected that they understand. But they didn't. So he asked these two questions. "Do you not understand? Do you not remember? When I broke for the 5,000, how many was left? 12. When I broke for the 4,000, how many is left? 7. So how is it that you don't get it?" That's the question. How is it you don't get it? So what's the lesson? What's the lesson of "take heed and beware of the leaven"? This is the lesson. Then they understood, not beware of the leaven of bread, but beware of the doctrine. Now they get it. It's not about bread making. Jesus isn't worried about how much bread you have. He can feed thousands of people on nothing. It's not a matter of bread. It's a matter of doctrine. So what lesson is Jesus teaching? Well, let's study his two questions as we close out this morning. The first, "Do you not remember?" How far, see if you remember, how far does 5 loaves and 2 fish go from Matthew 14? 5,000 men plus women and children with 12 baskets to spare. I like numbers. Let's add it up. If half those men are married, and half those married couples have children, that's 8,750 people are fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what's really interesting about the Matthew 14 account, that was like a little child's lunch. It wasn't even food that the apostles had. They had to get it from a little kid that happened to be there. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish for his meal. And over 8,700, approximately, and that's just based off my numbers, were fed that day with 12 baskets to spare. Question number 2, how far does 7 loaves, and I said 2 fish just to keep it the same, but we're not told exactly how many fish it was. How far does this go? Approximately 4,000 men plus women and children with 7 baskets to spare. Once again, do you not remember? That's the question Jesus asks them. In order to understand the teaching, you have to remember what he did. How far does a little false doctrine go? Now understand his point. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Why? Do you not remember what a little did? How far will a little false doctrine go? That's the point Jesus is making. Open your Bibles to Galatians 5 and in verse 9. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 9. Paul, in teaching, talking about staying strong for Christ. In verse 4, have you become estranged from Christ? That's his point. Have you become estranged from Christ? Verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why? Because verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven leavens everything. Jesus says, beware of leaven. Well, it's because we don't have any bread. He says, don't you remember what I did? How far does 5 loaves go? How far does 7 loaves go? How far does a little false doctrine go? It leavens everything. It ruins an unleavened lump. You can't take a portion out and that still be unleavened. It leavens the whole lump. It's over. A little false doctrine goes a long way. The second phrase he makes, or the second question. Do you not understand yet? Why is it you don't understand? Let's understand ourselves. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, Jesus speaks of leaven, and he calls it hypocrisy. The word leaven used is the Greek word zume, and it means to ferment. Metaphorically, of inveterate mental and moral corruption, viewed in its tendency to affect others. When leaven is spoken about in this way, which it is almost every time it's spoken of in the New Testament, it is not an idea of breaking bread, although it is the same word. It is the idea that this leaven infects people. And it brings about mental and moral corruption. Or it can bring about mental and moral corruption. So he says, I need you to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. Don't you understand? What they teach, what they instruct, is infecting you to corruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 6. Paul, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Paul, in dealing with a problem that they have in the church there at Corinth, where a man has his father's wife, and they're doing nothing of it because they love this individual. They love him so much they're unwilling to tell him he's wrong. Paul specifically says, your glorying is not good. See, they're happy for themselves. They glory in this fact. He says, do you not know a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? Therefore, purge up the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Why? Since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us not keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we'll just stop there. Even Paul understood and made this point, because the Corinth brethren didn't understand. They didn't understand. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. We are an unleavened lump, according to verse 7 in that same chapter. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But there is such a thing as good leaven. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 20. The same account is found in Matthew 13 and verse 33. But Luke chapter 13, 20 and 21 is where I would like you to go. Again, he, speaking of Jesus, said, as he speaks in parables, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God?" What is the kingdom of God like? Here's the answer. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of leaven." Why? Because you have to remember what he just did. A few went a long way. A little false doctrine, brethren, goes a long way. It is so important that as Christians, that we as a congregation at Pleasant Valley do not even let a little false doctrine come in. Because a little false doctrine goes a long way. I know I've said this before. No congregation, no denomination that has a basketball gym had a man walk in and say, "Let's build a basketball gym." They would have thrown him out. They started with a guy who spent his own money and put a basketball goal in the parking lot. Then we need another basketball goal on the other side so they can play full court. Then we need to build some sort of shade structure so it doesn't rain on them. Then we need to build a basketball gym. No one ever walks in and says, "Let's radically change something." That's not the way it works. A little leaven goes a long way. Do you not understand? Leaven will leaven the whole lump. And in the same sense as we need to beware of leaven, we also need to understand that leaven can be used for good. How far will truth go to someone who's diligently searching for the truth? A long way. And it doesn't take a lot of it. Just plain a little bit of truth here or there, and it will go a long way in someone's heart. That's why Jesus was so cautious with His brethren, with His disciples, to tell them, beware of leaven. Because a little bit goes forever. The lesson is yours this morning. We here at Pleasant Valley have a decision to make every Lord's Day we come, every time we come together on a Wednesday or a Friday or whatever it may be, and that decision is to stick on the truth. We have to stay with the truth, because a little false doctrine, as we learned this morning, goes a long way. But if you're not a Christian this morning, the truth is very simple. Without Christ's blood washing away your sins, your judgment is already set in stone. But if you want to change that, the Bible is also very clear in its truth that baptism, the watery grave of baptism is called, is the only way in order for you to receive forgiveness of your sins. If you are not baptized this morning, the water is ready if you are ready. And we will help you take care of that. And the Lord will add you to His kingdom. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life, the Bible is very clear in its truth. That sin will seal your judgment unless you repent of it which He is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. If you need something this morning, would you please come?